Welcome to the Jesuit Schools Network Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. The JSN seeks to be a supportive resource to our member schools, and this podcast is designed to be just that, a carved out space to listen, learn, and engage with issues that matter to our collective work as Ignatian educators. We're eager to encourage a spirit of inquiry across the many layers of our work in Jesuit education. We envision our particular brand of Ignatian inquiry to be the art of inquiry as seen through our Ignatian lens, asking questions and exploring issues that matter in our schools through the frame of our shared Jesuit mission. In this episode, we will explore how one Jesuit school community has created space to infuse innovation and creativity into their learning community. We welcome Dr. Renat Levy-Cohen, the Director of Innovation at Fairfield College Preparatory School, who was brought on to establish and lead the McLeod Innovation Center, spearheading the school's innovation initiatives. Under her leadership, the center has transformed into a state-of-the-art hub for technology and creativity. Renat has overseen the acquisition of advanced equipment, including digital fabrication tools like 3D printers and laser cutters, film and video production gear, and the creation of specialized spaces such as an esports lab and a virtual broadcasting studio. Renat works closely with teachers to develop innovative teaching and learning practices across subjects, ensuring that technology and creativity are infused throughout the curriculum while guiding teachers in effectively utilizing the resources of the McLeod Innovation Center. Additionally, she founded the Innovation Department, designing and implementing courses such as Introduction to Innovation, Engineering, and Esports and Game Design. Renat holds a PhD in Educational Psychology and Learning Sciences from Fordham University, where she conducted extensive research on the impact of educational technologies on learning. She also served as an adjunct professor at NYU, teaching a master's course on the learning sciences that explored cognition and learning within technology-rich environments. Additionally, she holds a Master of Arts degree in Bilingualism and Educational Technology from Tel Aviv University and a Bachelor of Education degree in English as a Second Language from Talpiot College of Education. Dr. Kristen Ross Cully, JSN's Director of Educational Inquiry, joins us for this conversation on such an important topic. Renat, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Renat, we've been looking forward to speaking with you today. You know, I have great fondness for Fairfield Prep. It's a school over the years of my career in Jesuit education where just so many awesome people, awesome educators have been in your halls. So let's talk a little bit about where you are. Like, what would you say is most special about Fairfield Prep from your experience?
I would say that we have a really nice community of educators and students and colleagues. I feel like it's probably the best school I've worked at. What's unique about us is that we're also an all-boys Jesuit school in Connecticut. I believe we're the only one. We're also part of Fairfield University's campus, which greatly benefits us. We use their facilities. There's collaboration between us and some of the schools at Fairfield University. And I think what's also very special is the brotherhood that the students form here. It's always nice to hear alumni when they come back to alumni events, just hearing about the special relationships they formed with their peers and just how much they love the school, which I think really speaks volumes about, you know, the work that we do here.
Yeah, it's like the foundation of everything that you try to do as an educator. And, you know, here you are at the end of what's been a very busy semester. I imagine it's almost unbelievable that we're just a couple of weeks away from Christmas break. You know, it feels like we just started.
I know.
So I've been so curious about your work and really admiring from afar just all the time and resources and energy that your school has put into the development of your innovation center. So I'm excited to dig into that a little bit today. We should probably start with, you know, just a real basic definition of innovation. How would you, in your role, how would you define innovation?
That's a very good question, and it's a tough one. But I would say that innovation is really about student-centered learning, right? That directly relates to the Jesuit mission, cura personalis, meeting the students where they are. And it's about creating experiences that lead to deep and lasting learning. We really, I think the goal of innovation is to find the best way possible to make whatever it is our students are learning stick. We want to make it stick, whether it's something they're learning in math or science. We want it to stick, and we want them to understand how what they're learning inside the classroom really applies to real life. And I think another part of innovation is really preparing our students to an unscripted world. We don't really know what the world will be like in a few more years, right? The skills we're teaching today are not the skills that they'll need to learn in 5 years. So I think innovation is also about, you know, teaching our students digital fluency, being adaptable, because every day these new tools are coming out that can help students with their learning, teachers with their teaching responsibilities, really teaching our students how to develop creative problem-solving skills and just life learning skills. And I think innovation looks different in each discipline, and it's really driven by our teachers' learning goals. What is it that the teacher wants his or her students to learn? And that's where the conversation begins. And from there, you know, we do backwards design and think about where can we push technology into it. And one of the things I talk to teachers a lot about technology is a wide spectrum. It's a pencil and a piece of paper, and it's a laser cutter. I think often people are afraid of the word innovation, but really the focus is on innovating in how we teach and in how students learn, not the technology.
That's such a thoughtful, meaningful sense of what innovation is. I do think it's become a word that you read a lot about now, right? It's in, you almost can't read a report or some type of a profile of a school without hearing innovation. So hearing how Fairfield Prep lives it, I think is very helpful. As I listen to you, I think of the old saying, remember the old saying of when we're preparing kids for the future, you know, for the world beyond our halls. You used to always say, you know, so much of the jobs that they will do in the future, they haven't even been created now. And that's looking, you know, after secondary education. And so this sense of innovation, it's really infusing it into the life of their learning right now. And understanding that every day is changing, as you say. So I appreciate the meaningful way you explained that, because it is everywhere now. It does kind of feel like it's ubiquitous, right? So given all of that, tell us the story of how your innovation center came about. How did the school undertake the development of such a really extraordinary contribution to the learning community there?
The McLeod Innovation Center has an interesting history. For many years, it was actually Fairfield University's media center, technically in our basement. But when the university built a new media center on campus, this 11,000 square foot space became available to us. And at that time, Father Tom Samisky was our president, and he decided to form a committee to really determine what would they do with the space? And this was about almost 10 years ago. So when I think about it, I just think, like, how innovative were they to think about this 10 years ago? I don't think people really spoke about innovation back then. So the committee brainstormed many ideas, and they ended up deciding to create an innovation center to basically enhance STEM offerings at our school and really align ourselves to the advancements in our field of education. And I think what was particularly remarkable about their approach was that their vision was very flexible and allowed growth. So when I first came, the space was built, but the rooms were left empty. And I believe that was intentional because they really wanted to bring in a team, right? The innovation team to come in and start shaping the programming based on that, purchasing equipment and laying out the space in a way that really fits our community's needs. And now, this is my fourth year in, we have a digital fabrication lab with 3D printers and the laser cutter. We have a classroom where we teach engineering and robotics. We have another classroom where we teach all our computer science related courses. The committee also decided to form an entrepreneurship institute that's in our Innovation Center. So we have a teacher, Mr. Tom Shea, that's leading that initiative. He's teaching our students about business and marketing and developing business plans. And there's a project we have developed together that we work on. We're finishing up now a virtual broadcasting studio. It really stemmed from our students' interests in sports and sports broadcasting. So we've created a space for them where they can do sports broadcasting. We have an esports lab. So all the students that are interested in gaming and esports meet in there and learn different esports skills. We've also left a room that's kind of empty for students to hang out in, work on projects. Sometimes they take phone calls from universities they're applying to. And I think the most special thing that we have is a large gathering space. It's kind of like our main speaker area. So we have guest speakers, we have professional development there, and it has also allowed us to just run large engineering design challenges down there. So I've visited many schools that have a makerspace and really with amazing equipment, but I think what's unique about the way they laid out the Innovation Center here is that space that just brings everyone together. It just allows for more collaboration and more creative activities we can do with our students down here.
You have like literally and figuratively created space for innovation. You know, I mean, I the idea of when it began that the space was built, but that rooms were left empty. It's a brave undertaking. It also is so neat. I really appreciate hearing stories behind the development of programs like this. So, you know, the idea that a committee was formed, a vision hatched, and like you said, a flexible vision, you know, it gives you hope really for educators and leaders that are out there that are dreaming about what comes next and what we could do stronger and deeper and better. And it's remarkable to think about that was 10 years ago. And then all of the space that you've crafted over these 10 years.
And I did want to mention that really the room came out of, you know, the committee's work and thought process, but also we owe great thanks to Mr. Chris McLeod and alumni who gave us a really gracious donation to help us create the space.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable generosity and to see what you're doing with it and how the boys at Fairfield Prep and the teachers and the educators are running with it. I mean, it's an awesome story to hear. So tell us about the layers of your work. Like you described some of the programs that you've got, even business and marketing in there and then the design and esports. But what are the layers of work that you do in your role as innovation director with students and with faculty? What does that look like?
I can say that I wear many hats. If I think about our students, first of all, we offer elective courses so they can take courses in film, engineering, computer science, esports. We launched an esports class this year, esports and game design. The kids have really been enjoying it. We've also launched a new course last year that we call Introduction to Innovation. And essentially, that introduces the entire freshman grade to everything they can do in the Innovation Center. So they learn basic skills in 3D printing and laser cutting and film and video production. This year, we pushed in AI and machine learning. They also learn circuitry and robotics. And it kind of gives students a wide overview of what they can do with us. And later on, as they advance through the years, they can take classes that are really specialized. So we have a dual credit course for film and video production. They have the engineering class. But it's also a way for us to get our foot inside the classroom. And I'll explain that later. But for students, they have classes they can take with us. They have clubs they can take after school. We're part of the Sikorsky STEM Challenge. We have an amazing robotics team and another engineering club called Imagineering. We host large engineering design challenges in the Innovation Center. And the other thing we do is really one-on-one support for students. So they come before school, after school, or during their frees just to pursue their interests. Some of them want to come and sit in the fabrication lab and print things, design things, make things. We have students working in the Innovation Center. Some students work in the summer innovation camp that we have for middle schoolers. So there are a lot of ways students get involved in the Innovation Center, and we support them in their interests.
From your experience, Renat, so you have been at Fairfield Prep for a number of years now, right? And so think about just how traditional Jesuit education is changing kind of every day, but certainly over the years that you've been with the school, right? Like I think about how Jesuit education's historically rooted in the tradition of liberal arts, rooted in excellence, but it really is, this is an example of meeting kids where they are, you know, the way that you said it in the start, student-centered learning and rooted in our mission. But it's very neat to think about in like real practical ways, how going to school is changing for our kids, for the kids that we care for.
I know. I think the whole movement, the maker movement, right? Innovation is essentially the maker movement within schools. I just think that the maker movement changed education because we're helping students bring their creations to life or seeing how what they learn in class, in math class, for example, how is it applicable in real life, right? So for example, last year we developed Pi Day with the math department and showed them, why are you learning pi? How does that relate to what you do in life? And we showed them all the different ways that it's actually applicable.
And, you know, you wonder how, because it is such a strong part of schooling today, like you wonder in the years ahead, the experiences that the newer students coming to Fairfield Prep and our other schools, like what they will bring with them. Like I think about our oldest daughter will be in kindergarten next year. So I've been visiting, you know, some schools, and I was in a STEM lab for a kindergarten class yesterday. Like it's wild to me. And it's still, you know, as an adult, it feels like, oh my gosh, but she will grow up. This is going to be her normal. So you wonder when she gets of age where she's in our pre-secondary or secondary schools and like all of the experiences that she will have. It's such a challenge for us because we're constantly keeping up with our kids, you know, and it sounds like the space that you've created at Fairfield Prep, I imagine that you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I think that as a director of innovation, I'm not only trying to keep our students up to date with what's, you know, coming out for learning, but also for me and the teachers. Every day there's a new tool that comes out. And it's really, you know, we're kind of role models for our students, right? Just being lifelong learners, adapting to, you know, the new world. I mean, the field keeps changing.
I'm really interested in that. So what, like from your point of view, what does teaching and learning look like, you know, when it's innovative, like as an educator, if I'm embracing education, how does that like really change the way that I interact with the students in my care?
I think that you turn more into a facilitator and you let the students bring out, you know, their interests, their culture. You let them use their creativity and solve problems. So I can give you an example of a project that I did in my class. So I teach Introduction to Engineering and Digital Fabrication. And at the beginning of the school year, we teach them 3D printing and laser cutting. And once they acquire those two skills, we teach them Arduino, which is essentially circuitry. And you can make simple machines with that device. So I just want to explain like how student-centered learning, creativity, culture, all those things come out in a project like that. So they were tasked with creating a device that solves a problem in their community. So, for example, some of the students used a water sensor. And the goal for the water sensor was to detect when there's flooding. So people who can't afford buying an expensive flood detection system, they've made one for them with Arduino. We had a student who was just learning how to drive, and he had a lot of problems rear parking. So he developed a device that he put on his car that alerted him when he was too close to an object that was behind him when he was rear parking. We had a student who lives in a little bit of a tough neighborhood and there are a lot of break-ins. So he created an alarm system for his family. You know, I think that that's a good example of student-centered learning that really allows students' voices to come out in the class, and they're, you know, meeting them where they are, letting them be creative and solve a problem. And they use the technology as a tool, right?
You know, it's we've been talking a lot at the JSN at our conference office about pedagogical leaders and the particular way of Jesuit education and the IPP and how it affects us. And I listen to you and I think that it really is a necessity now to learn alongside our students. And it is such a potential to model everything that we really hope for the students in our schools, you know, and this is a real, it's a real kind of defined way to do that. It's a teacher who's interested in innovation, the acknowledgement that, you know, I am no longer the expert in this, but there's so much for me to learn. I find that invigorating. I know that there's challenges that come along with that. Like, what kind of challenges have you experienced with what I would consider to be a, I don't want to say a new way of teaching, but you know what I mean?
I think the biggest challenge is time. I think teachers in general, we're curious individuals and we want to learn and grow, but I think we need dedicated time to learn all these things. And it's not just learning how to use the newest AI app that came out. It's also understanding when is the appropriate time to use it and for what. The newest app won't necessarily teach my students, you know, a science skill I want them to learn. So I think the trick is not just learning all these new technologies that come out, but also knowing when and how to use them. I think that's the biggest challenge. And you only learn through experimenting with it, right? The first time may be a complete disaster, but you'll do better the next time, or maybe you won't even use it next time. That's another part of innovation, just, you know, trying and failing and, you know, succeeding in the end.
Yeah. And the idea of figuring it out as we go, I mean, it's a real thing, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it. It does take time and energy and courage in so many ways. Like, do you think back to the early days of your career and, you know, kind of the like old lessons that you could pull out or the, you know, some of the, it's just, it feels like those days are less and less in the current ways. So I'm really interested in your role as innovation director. And I think you've spoken to this a little bit, but I think of schools that are listening to our conversation now. And so many schools along with Fairfield Prep have committed time and resources to innovation. We were just I was at Brophy in Phoenix last week and hearing like their amazing work that they're doing with Rockets and Regis Jesuit as well. But for schools that don't have your role, what does it really look like? How is it important for the life of the school and for the learning that's going on?
Well, I can think of a few things. The first one is really supporting curriculum development. So in my role, I partner with the teachers to design and implement innovative projects that align with their curriculum and really thinking together about how to integrate technology if we want to integrate it and planning hands-on activities to deepen students' learning. I also make a lot of effort and I would say building bridges across the departments. So looking at the math teacher's curriculum versus the English teacher curriculum, like where can we find commonalities? Where can we develop an interdisciplinary project by looking at their curriculums? Another thing I do is really learn how to use new technologies and how to implement them into a curriculum. So sometimes I try it in my class and then I showcase it to our teachers to encourage them to develop it. I provide professional development to teachers on tools and how to use them. The other thing, which is the main reason I'm here, is really applying, right, just advancing the Jesuit mission within the innovation world. And everything we've done, every project, every collaboration relates to the Jesuit mission. So, for example, the project I described before about solving a problem in your community, that's part of the Jesuit mission, right? Making the world a better place. Really focusing on the Jesuit mission and bringing it to life through all the innovation work we do at the school. Another thing I do is really enhance student involvement and engagement with the center and with innovation. So teaching them new skills, they come to the Innovation Center and learn how to operate 3D printers, laser cutters. They offer support to their peers. I also, it's kind of a test bed for new projects, right? Piloting new ideas, new projects, building the culture of innovation within the school, really highlighting success stories of teachers. You know, one of the things I tell the faculty is when I came to Fairfield Prep, I didn't even know how to turn on a 3D printer. But, you know, I think I lead by example, as they say. My background is really in educational psychology and learning sciences, so really understanding how people learn and how to design learning environments. And I did have some tech background, but I did not graduate learning how to operate a 3D printer and laser cutter. Those were things that I learned on the job. So that's another example.
But you show us what's possible. When I hear a lot of what you're saying, like, you know, you said bridge builder, you probably fill some of the gaps that are just natural in academic departments. You know, we all kind of get in silos of whatever department that we're in. And it sounds like the way that your community and the culture that you're building embodies innovation is kind of filling in some of the gaps in between and connecting, you know, serving as a connector. I like hearing that. Tell us about the students. Like, what are the kids? The boys, what's their reaction to all of this? I'd read something on your when I was exploring a little bit before you and I met, when I was exploring the McLeod Innovation Center, something about how students can transform their ideas into products and processes and initiatives that can change the world. So how do the kids experience this?
So yesterday, we took our engineering students to the Covenant School. It's a few minutes from us. And basically, they learned technical skills, 3D printing, and their assignment was to create a game. And we usually have an annual toy drive at the school. And I was inspired by it to have my students design games for kids in need. So they designed games, they made them, they boxed them and wrapped them nicely. And we drove over to the school and gave it to those students in need that may not necessarily, you know, get presents for Christmas. And one of the things I told the students is, I really hope they understand that the goal of what we teach them, giving back to the community, compassion, leadership, service, you know, how that ties to classes like engineering, right? We're not just teaching you how to make a toy. We're also teaching you to use those skills for good, to make the world a better place. We have students who learn scientific concepts and come down and make them. So we allow them basically to turn their ideas into tangible items when they want to. We have one of our teachers, Vijay Da Costa. He's a theology teacher, and he just taught the book of Judges. And he reached out to me to collaborate on that project. Basically, you know, they learned about the book of Judges, and then they had to apply their learning to develop a game. So through the games, we had to see proof that they learned about the characteristics of each of the judges and prophets. And they created these amazing sets of games that have them basically apply the content that they were learning. It was a great experience for them. Right now, we have students walking around the school solving problems for people in our community. So they're creating hangers. They're creating business card holders. We have a teacher whose plant keeps wetting her desk. So we have a student creating a holder for it to contain the water that spills from it. Yeah. So that's one example.
Now, you said in this, you know, in the start of our conversation about creating experiences that lead to deep and lasting learning. I mean, that's the stuff that brings books, brings stories, brings experiments, exercises to life. You know, I also think about how I have enjoyed very much talking with alums of our school about how learning changes, you know, how it's changed since they were a student in the 80s or 90s or, you know, whatever. And just listening, you just described that so well. You know, you explained what it looks like now and what kids will be prepared for. And then you think about how you are really preparing them for universities where, you know, this is the norm. This and more, you know, is the norm. Talk about that flexible vision.
Last year, we launched an amazing initiative. Our students, you know, like all Jesuit schools, we send them to do service. And on one of their service trips, they went to see a hydroponic farm. And our academic dean was accompanying them. And she came back and she called me to her office and she said, "I want a hydroponic farm." I often get very interesting requests from people, and somehow we make it happen. So we ended up collaborating with a company called Levo International, who specializes in hydroponic farming. They came to school. They worked with my engineering students to build three hydroponic systems. And then after that, we seized the opportunity to make it an amazing interdisciplinary project for our students. So my engineering students built the systems. Our math students helped us with seeding and planting the lettuce. We grew lettuce in the systems. They helped us with seeding and planting, and then they were tracking the growth of the plants, the level of nutrients in the water. Our environmental justice students learned about food insecurity and how hydroponic plays into it. This year, one of our AP biology teachers, Steven Soto, designed an experiment using our hydroponics. So his students grew the seeds and planted them in the hydroponic system. And over the course of 4 weeks, they came down and collected data. What was nice is that each system had different levels of nutrients in their water source. So we wanted to see how that would impact the growth of the plants. So the students collected data over the course of 4 weeks. And just today, we took out the lettuce from the systems, measured the colors of the lettuce, the length of the roots, the size of the plants, and then we also had salad.
It just sounds like there's a lot of energy in the learning community at Fairfield Prep. And I think that they're probably... that's been around for a long time, you know, as you're building culture, but you're like expanding that, right? And even just to hear the different positions that you just mentioned, you know, the academic dean, a biology teacher, a theology teacher, it's like so many different facets of the community. So when I think about building a culture of innovation, like that's it, you know, that really is it.
I feel like we've been talking a lot about STEM, and one of the things that is very important to me to explain it, it's not about STEM. That's not the focus of our Innovation Center. It's really for all disciplines. And it's not just about the most advanced technology that's out there. One of the first projects that I've developed here was with one of our theology teachers. He was teaching church history. And he came to me and he said that he wants his students to learn how to write history. How do we write history? So we sat down and we brainstormed over a few meetings. Sometimes these projects really take time to think through. And we ended up developing an activity where students came to an archaeological site. We ordered artifacts from Rome because he was teaching about St. Paul and his journey. So we ordered artifacts from around that time online. We shipped it from Rome to Prep. We hid the artifacts under sand, and students were, you know, digging through the sand just like archaeologists. They had a report that they had to fill out regarding each item they took out. We had pottery, we had coins. And after they did that, we sent it to our AP biology students who carbon dated the artifact and sent a scientific report to Mr. Altieri and his students. And then they wrote history. Those projects have an amazing impact on our students because they really go through the same steps a historian would go through.
Well, and to the teachers too, it just feels accessible. Like it, you know, I would find these conversations like energizing and exciting, also kind of intimidating. How would it fit in my field as a English teacher or, you know, whatever. And it feels like it's accessible. And that's what these stories and the learning experiences that you're helping to craft, like that's what they do, you know, for teachers who are learning alongside their students. What would you encourage from your experience so far, you know, still like lots of work to do, but what would you encourage schools to learn from? What's surprised you or what do you think is important for those that are listening?
For innovation in general?
Yeah, and just helping infuse innovation into a traditional, you know, secondary school environment.
I would first say you have to find a dedicated person to lead the way and show the way. It's not easy to plan activities like this. And, you know, our faculty is usually very busy. They're busy with teaching and planning and grading. And you really need that person to present ideas to them, to teach them how to use different tools. I would also say, since we're speaking to the Jesuit community, is really prioritize mission-driven innovation, because you already have the buy-in from faculty, right? We're all here for that. So I think that has also helped. I think that when schools build innovation spaces, that there should be flexibility and room for growth, similar to what we did here at Fairfield Prep. You know, when I came in and the space was empty, it really gave me the opportunity to spend time with the community. So I needed the time to get to know our faculty, to get to know the community, the students. What were they interested in? For example, now we're finishing up building a virtual broadcasting studio. Before that, it was kind of headed towards film. And after spending some time with our students, I recognized that that was not really their interest. They were really interested more in sports and sports broadcasting. So having that room for growth, I think, really leads to a successful program, because you're really, in the end, designing and building programming for your community.
It's like the idea of renovating a home before you have to live in it to know what it feels like. Well, I appreciate so much you sharing your experiences, Renat. I think, you know, it's middle of December, you know, inching closely to holiday break for majority of our schools. Everyone's tired. You know, it's that time of year, busy and tired. But I listen to you and I learn from the story of how, you know, one Jesuit school has built and crafted this culture of innovation. And I find it really inspiring, you know, and so knowing the time of year that it is, but also heading into a break, heading into a new semester, like the idea of allowing a flexible vision to kind of sit in our head a little bit and reflect on that. And the idea of crafting space and allowing space for what's possible. I think that's inspiring. You know, that might be kind of the perfect way to end this semester and take a pause and see what we all can make of it next semester. So I'm really grateful for you for sharing your story, and very much admire the commitment of time and resource and energy that the Fairfield Prep community and students and faculty and leadership and benefactors have given. So thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. You can find additional resources from the episode and Renat's bio on JSN's website at jesuitschoolsnetwork.org/inquiry/podcast. The Ignatian Inquiry Podcast is hosted by Dr. Kristen Ross Cully. This episode was recorded, edited, and produced by Kristen Smith. To learn more about the Jesuit Schools Network, please visit jesuitschoolsnetwork.org. Stay curious and set the world on fire.